Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Can I prophesy over you this morning? You will walk in strange favors. You will see strange opportunities. You will enjoy strange monies, strange businesses, strange deals. I prophesy that this season you will walk in strange favors. You will enter new levels in your finances, new levels in your income, new levels in your ministry, new levels in your marriage, new levels in the works of your hands. I bless you with strange favor this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. How many of you can already feel the new levels in your hearts? You can feel it in your hearts. New levels. New levels. Hallelujah. God bless you. Find three people and just say to them, just prophesy to them. It's a new level. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new level. It's a new day. It's a new season. You better prophesy to up to five people before you sit down. All right. Anybody ready for more money? All right. 3 John 1:2. Above all. So let's take it together. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. May the Lord bless his word this morning, our hearing in Jesus' name. Sit down like the king that you have. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking on more money for a while now. And last Sunday, I did mention money is so important that it's literally competing with the oxygen in your nose or in your lungs, because there's not much you can do as far as life is concerned without money. I said money is exchange for life. That's 7 hours you put in that work. At the end of the day, they pay you 300,000 naira. They simply exchange your life because your entire life is calibrated in time. I said money is competition for your soul. That is why the competition for your soul with God is not the devil, it's money. Bible says, you shall not serve God. You cannot serve God and mammon. I also said that money is power for options. Somebody say power for options. I can't hear you say power for options. All right. So when you have money, you have options. So that was why during the last election, all of us were here wasting our time fighting, you know, for people not to buy vote. They shouldn't buy vote. And they just left us and went and bought INEC. They didn't buy the vote. They bought the machine that produces the vote. Come and talk to me, somebody. Are you still in church, somebody? We are wasting, all of us here were wasting our time. They shouldn't buy the vote. They shouldn't buy vote. They look at us and laugh and say, we have options. Somebody say option. They went and bought INEC and paid for cash full and walked away. And at the end of the day, you made noise. After your noise, what happened? Life went on. Am I correct? Can you talk to me, somebody? Somebody say option. Can I prophesy to somebody? God will give you options. Ladies and gentlemen, we said money is a stronghold of destiny. You remember that? Talk to me. Do you remember that? And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This is not on my slide, but listen to me. The world is very merciless to the moneyless and the powerless. I repeat, the world is very unkind. This, our world in which we live, is very unkind, very merciless to the moneyless and to the powerless. There are doors that will not open for you if you don't have money. There are some parties you cannot enter. There are some functions that you will not be invited to. Can I even say, when you are moneyless, justice is almost like an illusion. I mean, there's a story trending all over Nigeria about a young lady who simply bought tomato and commented and said, this tomato, too much sugar. Is that still freedom of speech in Nigeria? And the lady simply made her own little freedom of speech. This tomato is too sugar. And from that time to now, she's been from one prison to another prison, to another prison, and the man has sworn that he will kill that lady. Because when there's no money, the world is very unkind to you. Can I prophesy to you? You'll be so wealthy that this world will be kind to you. I reject that amen. I said you'll be so anointed with money that this world will be kind to you. You've seen a lot. It happens in your neighborhood where you know who is the person that is wrong. But by the time they went and bought the law and put the law in their pocket, justice turned in their favor. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? The world is very unkind to the moneyless and to the powerless. Both power and money God will give to you in the name of Jesus. All right. So last Sunday we began to say that, yes, it is true that your job, your business, and all your hustle, they are all channels for God to bless you. But I said that the real fountain, the real source of your blessing for the believer, ladies and gentlemen, is not your hustle, it's not your sweat, it's not your labor, it's called the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. I cannot hear you say the blessing. Say for the last time, the blessing. The real source of your wealth, of your income, is the blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I'm taking this discussion further, and I want to speak on what I've titled Prospering by Kingdom Addiction, Part 1. Prospering by Kingdom Addiction, Part 1. Prospering by Kingdom Addiction, Part 1. Now, let me begin by saying this. Everybody look up here. Everybody say the blessing. For the last time, say the blessing. Now, please listen to this. Miracles are a gift from God. You don't need to earn miracle. In fact, sometimes when you walk into a crusade, the unbelievers who don't even have faith get more healed than even the Christians who have faith. True or false, somebody? Come on, talk to me. True or false? Miracles are a blessing. But listen to this. The blessing is an investment. It's not a gift. The blessing is an investment. The blessing is not a gift. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Now, everybody look up here. So here was God. He called Abraham and said, leave your father's house. Go to a place I will show you. I will bless you. I will do that, and I will do that, and I will do that. And Abraham began a walk with God, a blessed man. But how many of you know, it was until the day that Abraham finally agreed to sacrifice Isaac. As he was returning back, God said, now I know. Now I know. He now says, now in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Now, the blessing is an investment. Everybody say investment. I can't hear you say investment. So guess what? What is it about the investment? Number one, every time you do an investment, you must make that investment pursuant to purpose, and you always audit that investment, the outcome of the investment, to be sure is yielding dividends. Please answer me, somebody. Once it's an investment, listen to this. You have a goal. You have a purpose. And every now and then, you want to audit. Is this thing worthwhile? This business I started now, this investment I made in pure water business, is it worthwhile? You always have to audit to reevaluate the outcomes of your investment, whether it is working or it's not working. And guess what? If over time the investment is not working, what do you do? You say, you know what? Let me try something else. True or false, somebody? Answer me, true or false, somebody? Blessing, the blessing is not a gift. The blessing is always an investment. Please note that. Let me say this to you. I don't care how much you love your wife. If your wife said to you today, honey, give me 1 million and let me start this business. You give her 1 million, after 3 months, it packed up. You give her again another 1 million, after 3 months, it packed up. By the fifth time, you're going to call your wife and say, honey, I love you too much and I don't want us to fight. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want us to quarrel. So, honey, please, maybe you're not called to business. Maybe you are called to something else. What I'm saying, is it true? Or your younger brother came to you and said, you know what, uncle, brother, let's do business together. And you came and you said, okay, you know what? So I'm giving you 1 million. End of every month, give me 50,000. And then you gave 1 million to your younger brother. It was an investment. And then 1 month came, no 50,000. 2 months came, no 50,000. By the time it was 5 months, your brother came again and said, ah, brother, if you just give me another 2 million like this, The reason I couldn't bring the 50,000 because that other one was too small. If you just give me another 2 million like this, when in fact, this time I'll be giving you 100,000. Let me ask you, are you going to give that 2 million to your brother? Because his track record has proven it's a bad investment, true of us. Can you talk to me, true of us? You'll be a foolish man to carry 2 million and put in the hands of somebody who, when it was 50,000, he couldn't return. Now he's promising to return 100,000. Can I be honest with you? Anytime God wants to bless you with big money, this is how it begins. He gives you that little one whose tithe is only 10,000 naira. And he's watching. And he's watching. And then you are saying, by the time I pay house rent, and I settle this one, and I take care of this one, the money is not enough. If God can start giving me 1 million, I will start paying tithe. God look at you and laugh and say, I say, no problem. Continue to be stupid and fool yourself. And then he waits for that day where you now need, you need to raise change levels, like we sang this morning. You want to change level, then say, Lord, you see this 1 million thing? The reason I couldn't pay my tithe is simply because it's too small. Just try me with 10 million. I'm going to look at you and say, he that is faithful in that which is little is the one to which we give much. And he that is faithful in that which is another man, then we look at him and say, take your own. Until you are faithful in some. See, that's why I said the blessing is not a gift. Miracles are a gift. When it comes to the blessing, it's always like a transaction. God puts it in your hand because it's looking at a purpose greater than the business. It's looking at the end, not the means. That business is only the means. That's why if that business shuts down, how do you know a blessed man? If his business shuts down today, if his shop gets burnt, give him 3 months, he has bounced back again. Difference between a rich man and a blessed man is that when a rich man's shop gets burnt, you know, that's the end of his life. 5 years after, he's saying, I was a rich man 5 years ago. Until my chop got burnt in Obete. He's talking about his woes 5 years after. But guess what? Concerning the righteous, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. What happens to him? I can't hear you. The Lord does what? It's only one. See, it's not the business that is the blessing. That business was only one of the channels. He carries the blessing. Take him to the wilderness, he can reproduce the same result. Take him anywhere, he will reproduce. The blessing was not the business that God burnt. It's something on his inside. Can I prophesy over you? That blessing on your inside will continue to produce success in the name of Jesus. Will continue to produce great results in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a louder amen, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason why it's important I refresh your memory that every time you want to have an encounter with God, remember, there are 4 places God encounters people. Because we're speaking about money this morning. 4 major places God encounters people. Number 1, God encounters people in a place. Everybody say place. 2, he encounters people when they carry out kingdom principle. Everybody say principle. I can't hear you say principle. God also encounters people in the place of prayer. Everybody say prayer. And finally, which is the greatest of all of them. You want to encounter God in your life, particularly in the area of finance. God encounters people in the place of purpose. Everybody say purpose. Can you shout, say purpose? Pastor, what do you mean by that? So here was Jacob, Genesis 28, if I'm not mistaken. Jacob was on a mission, escaping from his brother. The Bible said he got to a particular place, he took a stone, turned it into a pillow, and he slept there. What he didn't know was that many years ago, his father had raised an altar in that place. Poured oil in there and entered covenant with God. It was only for him a stone and a place where he wanted to sleep, wake up the next morning, continue his journey. That night, his eyes were open. He saw a ladder from heaven, angels going and coming down. And God said, listen to this. I will do this for you. I will do that for you. I will do that for Genesis 20. You've seen that. And so on. And by the time he woke up, what did Jacob say? This is indeed the house of God and the gate of... He said, God is in this place and I did not know it. So there are places you get into where even without your qualification, just walking in there, you can have an encounter. And can I prophesy to somebody, this morning in this house, you will have an encounter in the name of Jesus. The second one is a principle. Everybody say principle. I can't hear you say principle. Look at a man called Cornelius. The Bible told us this man loved the people of God. The Bible said he gave much gifts to the people. In fact, there's somewhere the Bible said he had even built for them a synagogue. And he just loves the people of God. He's not a Christian. He's not a Jew. He was a Cornelius. He was a Roman soldier. But he just, there's a principle of just giving and giving. Guess what? God woke up Peter and said, get up, carry your belly. Start going to the house of a man called Cornelius. This man has given too much offering. He can't go to hell. How many of you know there are some rich men that are too good to the kingdom? No matter how bad they had, they can't go to hell. 5 minutes before they die, God will call a preacher and say, go and preach to them. This man's soul cannot go to hell. Not after he built the Anglican church in the village or build the Roman Catholic church in his village. God will send a preacher to them and save their soul. That's what happened to Cornelius. Are you still in church? Please talk to me. Are you still in church? God will look at the sacrifices. So encounters take place when even a Muslim carries out the principle of the kingdom. Are you there, somebody? God will give that Muslim an encounter. Why? Because he carried out the principle. And listen, God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of principles. Number three, encounters take place, ladies and gentlemen, every time a man stays in the place of prayer. So here was a man called Jabez. The Bible told us Jabez lifted up his voice. Look at the condition of the pain with which he grew up. And said, I don't want to continue like this. The Bible says, and he cried unto the Lord, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast and do that. And because of the deep hunger and the cry of his heart, God gave him an encounter. Can I declare over you, before this fasting is over this week, you will have an encounter in the name of Jesus. But the most powerful of all of them is called the encounters that come in the place of purpose. Everybody say purpose. Shout aloud, say purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gentleman in the Bible called Cyrus. Cyrus is a stark unbeliever. Doesn't know God. In fact, when God looked at him and said, I've anointed you, Cyrus. God said, I have put X, Y, Z in you. I want you to understand why I made you to be king in Babylon for only one reason. God said, the years of captivity for Israel is over. I'm looking for a king I can partner with who can help my people to return back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and also rebuild for me the city of Jerusalem. And I found in you a man who will be willing to do business with me. Even though you don't know my name, guess what? I have anointed you. Ladies and gentlemen, because of purpose, God took that unbeliever, anointed him, and made him his beloved and his chosen. When a man aligns his business, for example, with purpose, that business already has taken. How many of you know Procter & Gamble? Anybody knows Procter & Gamble? Okay, I will talk more about this one maybe by next Sunday. But listen to this. Yeah, it was started by a Christian called something Procter. I've forgotten the full name right now. Who came to God and said, you know what? He was doing normal business. At that time, he was selling, was it tissue or something like that? Something like tissue. And then one day he was reading the scriptures and he came to the book of Solomon that talks something about perfume. So the guy decided, you know what? I want to start doing my products with perfume, with sweet fragrance and so on and so forth. He said, God, I want to enter a covenant with you. 40% of this business I will give to you. 40% I will give to you. Everybody say purpose. I can't hear you say purpose. And by the time he did that, God said, you ready? You sure? And so on. And God, and Proctor, this guy, his friend called Gamble, joined him in the business. Two of them partnered together, and that business blew. The rest is history. The point I'm making is this. When God looks at you and discover that, I can do business with you, purpose. If I partner with this guy, we can take this gospel to another level. We can save more people. We can give more to the poor. We can do more for humanity. Guess what? When purpose collides with God's will and your cooperation, God has a reason to give you an encounter. Concerning your finances, I pray for you. By reason of your purpose, by reason of your determination to partner with God, may God change your business to a new level in the name of Jesus. Transform your business to a new dimension in the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen this morning. All right. Pastor, why does God bless people? Why does God want to bless us? Quickly, I'll run through why God wants to bless you. Number one, the first reason God wants to bless you, God wants you to enjoy life, to chop. Everybody say chop life. I can't hear you say chop life. Can you see somebody? You want to chop life? Anybody wants to chop life like that? Okay, the first reason God wants to bless you, God wants you to chop life. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look like somebody that likes to chop life. Only one reason. God wants you to chop life. Don't let anybody tell you God doesn't want you to enjoy in this life. It is in the Bible. God wants you to chop life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, chop life go fit you. Are you still in church, somebody? Pastor, are you still seeing in the Bible? 1 Timothy 6:7. 1 Timothy 6:7. Charge them that are rich in this world that they should not be high-minded or trust in uncertain riches, but they should trust in the living God. Now, read the last one with me to go, everybody. Who has done what? 1 Timothy 6:17. Which verse did I call before? Was it 17 I called? I called 7. So the confusion was mine. I apologize. 17. Now everybody to go. Charge them that are rich in this world. No, don't bother. That they be not high-minded or trusting on certain riches, but in the living God. Now read the last with me to go. Who giveth us richly? How many things? How many things? To do what? To chop life. You will chop life. I said you will chop life. You must chop life. First reason why God wants you blessed, chop life. Chop life. Ask your neighbor, how long will you continue with this your ninth boss journey? It's time to chop life. It's time to chop life. Listen to this. Let me tell you, I don't have time. I know I don't have time, but let me just, this is very important. There's no way I can miss this meeting without talking about this. Many years ago, when we're going for Synod, House on the Rock Synod used to be in Abuja. And I would go by road and come by road. One day, I just got married. My wife was pregnant with our first child. Everybody listen to this. I took my wife, we went for Synod. As we're rounding up Synod, everybody stood up straight to the airport. Me and my pregnant wife, we went straight to Utako. God is good. Is it not even God is good? Let's be facing a tree or something. We jump into the bus, Port Harcourt, and we started the journey. Somewhere around Lokoja, ninth journey, somewhere around Lokoja, 10 p.m. Suddenly, the bus came to a screech to a halt. They say, armed robbers are operating. Everybody was running. People were jumping from windows. My pregnant wife, in that panic, started running and fainted. It was a group of Hausa women in the village that resurrected my wife. Resuscitated my wife, not resurrected. They poured water on her. They were speaking Hausa and all that. She came back to life. And then I started praying for her, speaking in tongues. And after about an hour or two, we continued the journey. That journey was supposed to be to Port Harcourt. Only for us to get to Aba. The driver came out and said, this is where my journey ends. All of you from Port Harcourt, continue from here. Meanwhile, it was raining cats and dog. So I took this pregnant woman again. Listen, poverty is a bad thing, no? That's why you must chop life. I took this pregnant woman. Now we had to come under the rain looking for the bus that would take us to Port Harcourt. Soaked and drenched in the rain, we entered that bus. As we arrived in Port Harcourt, I called my wife. I said, kneel down here. She knelt down. I knelt down with her. I said, Father. I said, repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. This is the last day. This is the last day that we're going to enter bus. He said, we're going to enter bus. From now on, any journey we take, except it's by choice. That journey must be by flight. We sign this covenant in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the last time I entered bus. You will chop life. I said you will chop life. Oh. Number one reason why God wants you to prosper. Number two reason why God wants you to prosper. Are you still there, somebody? I can't hear you. Are you still there, somebody? For the last time, are you still there, somebody? God wants you to establish His goodness. His goodness. His goodness. God wants to make you a proof, a sign that He's a good God. How many of you know that there's a way God will bless you? People will look at you and say, what do you say is the name of your church again? Come on, are you still hearing me, somebody? There's a way God will bless you on that street. There are people that you will invite to church. They will be the one to invite themselves and say, next time you are going to church, just call me. I want to just find out how your church looks like. Listen to this. God wants you to be an evidence of His goodness. Psalms 92 verse 12. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. It will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, if you go on to verse 15, why is God blessing you? Why is He making you to flourish? Why is He making you to prosper? Verse 15. To display. To show that the Lord is not mismanaging your destiny. That is my rock. And there's no unrighteousness with Him. How many of you know Hebrews says God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love? David said there's no unrighteousness with Him. When you serve Him, one of the reasons why He wants you blessed, He wants to use you to show. Everybody say to show. I'm a good God. Guess what? In your office, God will use you to show. On your street, He will use you to show. In your village, God will use you to show. Guess what? In that street, in that environment, God will make you a testimony. Yeah. I can't hear amen this morning. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the other reason God wants you blessed is because God wants you to be a blessing. Somebody say a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing to others. He wants you to be a blessing to others. Genesis chapter 12, it says, and I will make you, verse 3, Genesis 12, 2, it says, and I will bless them that bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing. If you go to verse 3, it says, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God, I'm blessing you. But I'm not just blessing you. I want to make you a blessing to others. Because I can't come down and throw blessings on anybody. It is through your hands I can be a blessing to others. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you know that just the little initiative we're about to do now to train 500 people, train them, give them skill. I was speaking to one of our tailors in church who runs perhaps one of the biggest fashion outfit in the city, one of the mega, I haven't seen anyone as big as I in this city. She said, Pastor, I have a lot of interns right now. Once I graduate them, I'm taking people from church on this training program. We are going to come and I'm giving them full training. I'm not giving them 6 months. I will give them a complete training. They come out as first-rate professional tailors and ready to engage. Now, how many of you know that? How many of you know the reason God has blessed us is so that we can be a blessing to people? Come on, are you still in church, somebody? Imagine 500 people graduating, and they're more than 500, and just giving 500, graduating, some of them tailors, some of them this other one, some of them content creators, and so on, all of them getting job. Ladies and gentlemen, the number of families that will be fed, somebody will fix their wedding date because of that training. Are you still there, somebody? Listen to this. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. Number 4, God, why is God blessing us? So that we can partner with him in the advancement of his kingdom. God is looking for people to partner with. I've said that before. He's looking for men he can partner with in the advancement of his kingdom. Okay? Now, please listen attentively to what I'm about to read right now. Deuteronomy 8:7. For the Lord thy God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, a spring of valleys and hills. He says, when you are eating and you are full, when I have blessed you, he says, then you will bless the Lord thy God for the good land he has given you. And then he says, beware. Everybody say, beware. I can't hear you say, beware. He says, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandment. What's this particular commandment? God, if you bless me, I'll be a blessing to others. And his judgment and his statutes. And so on and so on. And if you read on, if you go to verse 18, it is then he now reminded them, by the way, this money you made, it wasn't your hustle, it wasn't your connection, because I'm the Lord your God who gives you power to make wealth. And the reason I gave it to you is partnership, so that you can partner with me to establish my covenant. Is anybody hearing me? Please answer me. Is anybody hearing me? See, let me say this to you. Anytime God blesses you as a believer, God is expecting partnership. And the worst mistake you will make in your life is when the blessings come, and there are a lot of people sitting and watching me this morning who have already made that mistake. The moment the blessing comes, they start negotiating. You know what? Somebody has to be intelligent and smart. Somebody cannot just be listening to everything that's saying from the pulpit, and so on and so forth. And then immediately the blessing comes, they forget. And what a lot of those people don't know is that this particular blessing that they are forgetting God already was only testing. The main one has not even come yet. And just because they failed the test at that point, that's where they remain for the rest of their life, going around in circles, and not just going around in circles, finally going backward. Why? Because they violated a covenant of partnership. Are you still there, somebody? Come on, are you still there, somebody? It's an insult for God to raise you and you ignore God. It's an insult. It's not just an insult. It brings a curse on you if you're not careful. That God raises you and then the first thing you did was to forget the God that raised you. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? Let me say this to you. There are sons in this church. There are people in this house. Except we didn't mention the needs to them. They are what you call God's partners. If I open my mouth and tell some of them are pastors. If I open my mouth and tell them, we have X, Y, Z need in the house. Most times they won't even talk to me. Say, Pastor, are you sure? Say, yes. They go and investigate. They find out that the thing is true. The next thing, 2-3 months later, I've seen that thing on the pulpit. They don't even talk to me. It's people that will call me and say, Pastor, XYZ has paid for that thing. Oh, XYZ, we had a problem with screen not too long ago. You're all aware of the problem. It was there. We didn't know where we're going to start the story from. But it took one son, one covenant partnership son in this house, who came and said, Pastor, how do we go about it? How do we solve it out? Brought his own money. Church brought his own money. Before you know what's happening, pam, 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 we have new screen. I never mentioned to you once in this church how this screen came. Did I mention it? I never mentioned it. I didn't mention it because there are people like you in this house who take up, who are partners with God. When burdens come, they take it up without talking. No announcement. Don't call my name and so on and so forth. There are some others, they dare not know I have a problem. If they do, they will borrow money literally and meet me. But guess what? The people I talk about are less than 1% in this church. 1%. And how much resources do they really have? This is the only church I know of in the world where members travel, they don't buy anything for their pastor. This church. I'm telling the truth. Strange house. Strange, very strange. I'm telling the truth. I don't need anything. I'm not saying buy something for me, please. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just talking about attitude. Is anybody hearing me? I'm talking about having this understanding that, listen, God blesses me for a reason. And it must always be at the back of my mind. I'm in partnership with my Father. Say amen, somebody. I can't hear you say amen, somebody. For the last time, say amen, somebody. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you know? Please notice this. For time's sake, I want to mention four areas of kingdom addiction. Remember, I said this morning, I'm speaking on prosperity by kingdom addiction. You remember? Answer me, do you remember? So for time's sake, ladies and gentlemen, let me speak about four areas. There are four areas of kingdom addiction we'll be addressing in the course of this last series in the month of March. The first one is addiction to the presence of God. I won't deal with that today. The second one is addiction to the house of God. I will deal with that in second service. The third one is addiction to personal evangelism. I will deal with that in this service. And the final one is addiction to caring for the poor. Addiction to caring for the poor. For time's sake, ladies and gentlemen, let me use another 5 minutes and talk to you about prospering by addiction to personal evangelism. Everybody look up here. Say personal evangelism. I can't hear you say personal evangelism. Ladies and gentlemen, let me begin by saying that every soul winner is a utility player in God's club. Somebody say utility player. How many of you are aware that they don't pay every footballer the same way? They don't pay them the same money. There are people, they are called strikers. They are called utility players. They are the ones that always convert goals. They don't pay them the way they pay others. Are you aware of that? Are you still in church? There are Christians, God don't reward them the way they reward other people. God reward them specially. Because as far as kingdom is concerned, listen, no matter how good a football club is, their good is measured in the amount of goals that they convert, true or false? Can you talk to me, true or false? See, the world itself is like a football game. Sometimes Satan score, sometimes God score. And the Bible says every time a sinner enters the kingdom, the Bible says there is a party in heaven. Is it true or false? There is more joy in heaven over one soul that is saved than over 99 others. Why? Because for every time somebody says, I give my life to Christ, guess what? We scored. We scored. That's why the Bible talks about leaving the 99 to go and look for the one that is lost. Is anybody hearing me? God is so concerned about the one that is lost. So much that, see, ladies and gentlemen, hell is real. Heaven is real. It was on this pulpit a few weeks ago. Some of you were in church. And I was talking about a gentleman. Oh, God. Just talking about him brings tears to my eyes. That went to visit the wife that died. And the wife said, it's not that my husband is dead that's paining me. He said, I have cried to God to show me where my husband is. He said, all the dreams I have, none of them is good. By the way, he died coming from a nightclub. Let me complicate matters. He actually died FaceTiming with the girl he left at the nightclub. You know, iPhone will capture everything. So he died on speed, FaceTiming with the girl he left at the nightclub. The girl actually even sent another message after he died saying, let's do it again tomorrow. after he died. Are you still in church, somebody? And the girls, the wife said to us, our problem is not that my husband is dead, though. Every time we ask God to open our eyes, what we see is no good. He said the children too have fasted and prayed. Anytime they God showed them a dream, it's not a good one. It's not a good one. Hell is real, sir. Heaven is real, sir. You know the bad news? Most of us are surrounded with relations and friends who are on their way to hell. You have never one day invited them to church, let alone preach for them. Most of us are surrounded by colleagues in the office who are on their way to hell. It has never crossed your mind one day to invite them to church. You eat with them. You do the only thing, and you know the worst part? You have marketed them for forever living products. Long reach products. What's the other one again? Now help me, somebody. You have done enough marketing with them on every product. The only product that you are not bold to market to them is Jesus. Your Facebook page and your Instagram is full of all the testimonies from Longreach, from the other one, Forever Living Product, and so on. There's no single testimony of what Jesus does. There's not a quote from your pastor on your Facebook page. Some of you have been in church 6 years, not one Bible verse as shown on your Instagram. Are you still there, somebody? They say my time is up. But I want to say this to you, sir. You know, let me just share this with you. Quickly. Can I say this to you? The major business of God's kingdom on earth is soul transaction. Soul transaction. Soul transaction. That's the major business. Our commission is not to go make more money. Is to go make disciples of men. Go make disciples. God is so concerned about it because it stands at the central place of God's burden for mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, quickly, I don't have time, but let me say this to you. Let me show you three things that actually determine your eternal status before God. What is my status in heaven? How does God evaluate me or weigh me as far as eternity is concerned? Ladies and gentlemen, there are three things that determine your status before God. The first of them, ladies and gentlemen, is your walk with God. Pastor, what do you mean your walk with God? Your level of consecration. It stands before God as a marking scheme as far as your status with God is concerned. Listen to this. Pastor, where is it in the Bible? The Bible says, don't you know that everything you do with your body will be judged one day? So, here were seven sons of Sceva. They went to cast out demon for a man. And the man said, wait, Paul we know. Jesus we know. We have looked at the marking scheme. We've weighed you spiritually. Who are you? You know the rest of the story. They beat those seven guys. One guy beat seven of them, tore their clothes, wounded them and injured them. Why? Because in the realm of the spirit, one of the first things that God used to weigh you is consecration. Your walk with God, your level of holiness. The second thing that God uses to weigh you, ladies and gentlemen, is the number of souls you bring to the kingdom. The fourth thing God uses to weigh you, ladies and gentlemen, is the investment you make in the kingdom. You know what they said? They were trying to drag Jesus to go and pray for somebody whose daughter was sick. And they said to him, sir, let us remind you, this man loves God and he has built us a synagogue. You can't ignore the man. You've got to go and pray for his daughter. He has a placement with God. A gentleman called Ezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet is going to die. You know what he said to God? He said, calm down before I die. I know the man of God has prophesied, but let us look at my bank record. Take a look at my statement of account. See what and what I did for the church. I can't die like that. Guess what? God said, I'm sorry. It was a slip of tongue. Isaiah, return back. Give the guy 15 years. Is anybody hearing me? I'm talking about your weight in heaven. When God wants to weigh you, soul winning, the number of souls you bring comes in as number one. That's why the Bible says those that win souls, they shine as stars in the firmament. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me? I don't have time. Pastor, how does evangelism motivate God to bless and to give us more money? How does it motivate us to bless, God to bless us and give us more money? Number one, when you make God's business your personal business, God also makes your business his personal business. Are you aware of that? Please answer me. Are you aware of that? The fruit Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. When you make God's business your business, guess what? God say, the man don't take over my business. So, by the way, what do you even do? Sir, I sell X, Y, Z. God say, okay, since he has taken over my own business, let's also take over his business now. Let's run the business for him. Can I prophesy over somebody? God will take over your business. I said, God will take over your business. Shout a loud amen, somebody. Amen. Number two, how does personal evangelism bless you and gives you more money? Number two, purging, protection, and promotion are core entitlements of the soul winner. Purging, protection, promotion are core entitlements of the soul winner. Purging, protection. 1 John chapter 15, verse 2. 1 John 15, verse 2. Give me the scripture if you don't mind. 1 John 15, 2. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, that beareth not fruit. You know what God does? Pluck it and throw it away, Jare. Remove it from the place it's disturbing us. Every branch. Can you give me the scripture? 1 John 15:2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does it do? It takes away. Listen, that word take away is a dangerous word. I hope it doesn't include death. It just takes away. So remove it from there. Don't have any business protecting this one. Protect for what? It says, and every branch that beareth fruit, what does it do? It purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Somebody say purge. I can't hear you say purge. I will never forget this, sir. I will never forget this. See, it's difficult to do evangelism and live in sin. Two of them don't work together. I was living with a roommate many years ago. He was a master's student. I'm a first degree student. This guy works with the bank, but lives in the hostel with us. One cupboard doesn't bring. We cook food together. He will eat the food and give us the plate to wash. Come on, are you still there, somebody? I'm very holy guy, yo. Very holy. All of us were in deeper life. You know what I'm talking about? Holy but wicked. I did not know. This is between you and me and God. I started hating the guy. How can you chop our food? You don't wash plates. You collect salary end of the month. We're all students, so he's a worker in the bank. It never crosses his mind to donate one kobo to the cooking of the food inside our room. I did not know I started hating this guy. One night, God took me and said, oh yeah, go for evangelism. Because I was evangelism coordinator in my school. All my life, I'm evangelism coordinator. Law school evangelism coordinator. That's my life. He said, oh yeah, go for evangelism. I wanted to go for evangelism. I said, let me wear my shoe. And as I was about to put my leg, he said, look inside the shoe. And I looked. A snake was coiled inside my shoe. I was about to put my leg. You know the next thing he did? A big finger pointed at 1 John chapter 2, verse something. I've forgotten the verse. He that hated his brother abideth in death. He that hated his brother. You want to go and preach the gospel with hatred in your heart? By the way, I hope you know shoe represents the gospel. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You want to do evangelism with hate? Are you mad? Are you okay? It purges you. He that beareth fruit, he purges it so he can bear more. You can't live in hatred and do evangelism. They don't work together. God purges your life with evangelism. No matter how you want to live in sin, you cannot. Something will judge you if you try it. There's a way it keeps you on check. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Is anybody hearing? My time is already up and we have a child dedication and I just have to run. But listen to this. Please, I'm begging you in the name that is above every other name. Make soul winning a priority. Make it a priority. Number three, soul winners all over the world are great marketers. How many of you are aware of that? Please answer my number. How many of you are aware of that? Listen to this. The most difficult thing to market is an intangible reality. Like a Jesus you can't see. Like a cross you never went to. Are you still in church, somebody? It's easy to market the drugs of FLP, Forever Living Product. It's easy to market the soap of Longreach. It's easy to sell anything. The most difficult thing to market is an intangible reality. If you can convince people Jesus saves, there's no product you can sell. Are you still in church, somebody? I say, are you still in church, somebody? Listen to this. Soul winning will train you to be creative and logical. Soul winning will give you answers to human questions. Because people will ask, Jehovah Witness will ask you a question you cannot answer. You go back and study. Am I correct? Your worst day in soul winning is the day you meet Jehovah Witness. Am I correct? So yeah, tell us. All right, let's not go there this morning. It trains you to intrude into situations or question things. And guess what? Soul winning will also help you to not to take advantage of failure, because it's not everybody you preach to that will give their life. Some of them will walk away from you. You learn how to take failure and become stronger and become better. Am I correct, somebody? Please answer my, am I correct? No soul winner. There's not one soul winner that's not a strategic businessman. Every soul winner is strategic in business. Because soul winning will train you business, marketing, communication. You will learn it by force. I started soul winning, ladies and gentlemen, in Oshodi to mile two. Oshodi to mile two. I jump into the bus. I'm not going anywhere. And we'll start from there. As soon as the medicine seller finished selling their medicine, you know the medicine sellers in the Molue, we allow them to finish selling their medicine. Once they are done, we take over. We preach all the way to mile two. We enter the next bus again and preach back again to Oshodi. That's where I started from. That's where I started from. And guess what? Today, I don't need a microphone to preach. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. Anywhere there is a soul, I can't enter an Uber in America without preaching to the driver. It's impossible. It's impossible. If I enter that Uber, I'm preaching to the driver. We are conversing all the way to my destination about Jesus. They are giving me phone number. They are telling me, oh, the number you call for the Uber is not my real number. So please, I take my real number. Keep praying for me. Why? Because soul winning will always win the heart of men to you. Is anybody hearing me? You are a wonderful marketer if you are a soul winner. And I declare over you, may that anointing come upon you in the name of Jesus. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. It says, Daniel 12:3. Give it to me on the screen. I have the MSG here, but let's read the King James. Those that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and those that turn many to righteousness shall be as the stars forever and ever. All right, so quickly, Pastor, huh, my time is really gone. I need to run. Let me go straight to my final point. Everybody look up here. How do you know a true disciple? Give me my slide. How do I know that you are a true disciple? You are a true Christian. Number one, every true Christian or disciple must learn. Number two, you learn from Christ. Number two, you must live a life in purity before God. Number three, you must love the church of God. And number four, it must be a lifestyle to lead others to Christ. It's on my slide. I believe it's there on my slide. You must have a lifestyle of leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Come on, talk to me. Are you still there? Are you still there, somebody? Evangelism is what we're called to. See, don't let the blood of your brother or your sister around you be on your head. Open your mouth. Even if you don't know how to preach, invite. Some of you have been in church for 5 years. There are not one person who have come to church because of you. What kind of Christian are you? Why? What exactly is your mission in church? If nobody can say it's because of him, I got saved. You know, I was shocked when myself and Pastor Benjamin visited a family in this church some weeks ago. And we got there and I asked the young lady. She said, everybody in our family is in your church. I said, how? Oh, I've never seen them before. Beautiful young girls and your lovely mother. I said, who are you? I've never seen any of you before. Okay, how did you guys start coming to church 4 years ago? And one of them said, your scholarship that you gave, I was one of the people that benefited from it. He said, I returned back home and I told my mother, oh yeah, everybody, I found the church. Scholarship. And everyone came to church. 4 years after, the mother is in children's church, teaching right now. And the rest of the family, they are here. Just because one person reach out with a scholarship. I'm simply saying, I have a video. I don't have time to play the video. I'll play it in second service. But very important video. But I just came this morning to say, okay, Pastor, I don't know how to preach. But guess what? You can also support financially. You can say, okay, this is my little money. We're about to give another scholarship now to over 500 people. We're about to train them, give them businesses. And guess what? By the time we empower them to start their businesses, it belongs to them. It doesn't belong to House on the Rock. Some of them may choose to come to church, and some of them are not even our members anyway, from beginning. Some of them are other church members. But guess what? There are one or two of them that will say, by the time they become millionaires, 2024, House on the Rock did this for me. You know what? Now that God has blessed me, I want to open a business where I will employ school dropouts and none of them will be qualified. I don't need CV from them. I just want to give them free training. It's a seed we are sowing that will go a long way to empower the kingdom of God. And guess what? That man that will give you a job without qualification or give you a scholarship without deserving it, the God of that man, he doesn't need to preach to you. You will serve that God. Am I correct, somebody? Please answer me. Am I correct, somebody? I'm simply saying this morning, ladies and gentlemen, please, I want you to make a decision today. I will be a part of the cause of reaching out to souls. Bow down your head for a word of prayer. My time is up. Bow down your head for a word of prayer. And I'm not saying come and join evangelism department. If you want to do so, fantastic. But that's not the call this morning. The call is for you to be a personal witness wherever you are. Right there where you are, can you say this after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I can hear you say, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for turning a deaf ear to the call to save humanity. I am sorry. For being indifferent to the burden of heaven, I am sorry. For turning my eyes and watching souls go to hell, Father, I am sorry. But this morning, I repent and I rededicate my life and my heart. I commit myself to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. I will give, I will serve, I will be there, and I will be a soul winner. I receive the grace, I receive the strength, I receive the anointing to be a soul winner, and I consecrate my life to be one of it all the days of my life. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now please listen to me. If you're here, you're not born again this morning, this prayer was not for you. You are the one that we want to save. And so I'm going to give you 1 minute to put your hand on your chest. I want to lead you in a 1 minute prayer. Pastor, my life is not a good one. Let's not lie to ourselves. I want to get born again. Can you just put that on every head bowed again? I want to pray for these ones that want to give their lives to Jesus. Can you say after me, if you don't mind, say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I'm a bad boy or I'm a bad girl. I need you. Come into my heart. Change my life. I confess that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. This morning, the power to become a child of God, I receive it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I pray for these ones who have prayed this prayer quietly on their seats. I pray that their lives will never be the same. That same thing that changed my life from a bad boy, smoking, drinking, womanizing, and made me where I am today, let that same grace now appear to them. And let the power of sonship be revealed to them. Let these lives and destinies change forever. And let them from this moment forward walk with you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I can hear your amen. Now, I am 20 minutes behind time.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Pastor Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log on to www.hotrenugump3.com. That is www.hotrenugump3.com to download. Truly, the word works. You got to go.